Well, welcome to the last of our summer series. If you've missed out of all the other five spectaculars, then you know, go back and have a look on the website, and you can listen to them all. And it's quite fascinating. We've talked about the goal of Christianity being relationships. And this morning when we were praying in the prayer meeting and talk and just hearing what God had for us this morning, he talked about sometimes when you know, these guys are out there spraying their hoses, or, you know, they may have a hose, but they've got squirters guns. But if you've got a hose, you turn on the source, and then nothing's coming out of the end of it. And you follow that hose back, and you find out that actually it's got a kink in it. It's got a crimp in it. It's dried out. And it actually is not the fault of the water. It's the hose. It needs restoring and reconditioning. Now, as we connect with others, as we start to love others, as we look out from ourselves to the needs of others, sometimes we're going to find ourselves in that same situation. We're going to find ourselves with a kink that says, I can't love that person. I don't know why, because God loves them, but I'm not sure I love them. And at that point, we need to let him start to deal with what that is in us. Because if we are made in his image and his likeness, we will start to think like him and act like him. And God loves everyone. So if we don't love everyone, then we've got to deal with those kinks. And the Bible says in 1 John, it says, no one's ever seen God, but as we love others, God's love flows through us and is made perfect in us. And you know what? The process of loving someone else causes that kink in you to be eased up. Sometimes if you've got it really bad, you've got to put that kink into some warm water or into the sun, and it eases out. And then you realize it's susceptible to kinking again, but you've got to look after it. And that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to get us to a place where, you know what, our capacity to love others is more towards God's capacity. We're never going to get there. But Jesus didn't say, love the people who you get on with, or love the people who are friendly to you. He said, I say to you, love those who despitefully use you. Love your enemies. And that isn't something we can do naturally. That is only something we can do with a supernatural connection. I love the example of the aeroplane. When you're on an aeroplane, they say the oxygen masks are going to fall down, and then they say, put yours on first before you try and help someone else. What that means is you need resources to fill you up before you can think clearly or help someone else. And for us, that's part of what we're doing. We're connecting with God, and then we're connecting with others. And, you know, that's the process God has us, to transform us into his likeness, into the likeness of Jesus. So over the summer, we've been looking at relationships, and we've been doing it in the context of this desert island. If for our visitors, if you haven't figured out this is a desert island, then this is the sea around the edges. And we have a radio program here in the UK, which is called Desert Island Discs. And they invite people on to talk about themselves and about their choice of music and general things of life. And it's good. And so we've had some fun over the summer. We've heard from lots of people, and we're going to hear from a couple more today. So I'm going to use this microphone, and I'm going to get the other one ready. Okay. Good. Well, my first guest on the island today, this morning, can be... Oops, I want to start reading out the wrong ones, and then we'll be in trouble. can be found walking her dog, volunteering in the hub, which is the church office, or on the prayer team at church on many mornings. So please welcome Zena Butterfield. I think you got a woo there. Yeah, watch the flamingo. This is it's a PC Island. No animals are killed in the production this morning. Excellent. Well, welcome to the desert island, Zena.
Thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you live? Who are you?
Where do I live? I live in Nailsea now, although I lived in Clavering for 20 years and 8 years in Yatton before that. So at the moment, in our house, there is only Andrew and myself, although other people have been and gone at different times. Quite a lot of you will know Holland, our daughter, our eldest child, and some of you will remember Tristan, who used to come to church here, but he's doing different things now and lives in Bristol.
And Holland is?
On a desert island.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah. Nearly.
You've been getting tips from her in advance, some research.
I think her island is quite different in that it's very busy with tourists, so it's not so much a desert, more a tropical island.
Have you got a visit planned?
We have. We've booked flights. Ooh. We are going out in December.
Oh, nice. Mm. Very good. Excellent. Mm. Although you've lived in this area for a long while, mm-hmm. you haven't taken on the beautiful Somerset accent, and you still have a twinge of... Northern climes.
Yeah, I do. I sort of gave up picking up accents after Scotland, really. Because yeah. I started out in Lancashire, crossed the Pennines to Yorkshire, then went up to Aberdeen, lived in Scotland, and then came back down for another spell in Yorkshire before coming down here. So my formative years were spent in the north.
Excellent. Mm. And what have you done over your lifetime? We haven't got forever.
No.
What would you say were some of the formative events?
Well, when you say done, I suppose, like if you're talking about career, I always swore growing up that I would not be a teacher. So clearly I became a teacher. Yeah, quite. And I taught in a secondary school, and then when we moved back down to Yorkshire, I taught in a college, like a tech college for 16 plus students, you know, age 16 plus. And then when we moved down here, I did some private tuition. And in between, I've been part of the puppet team that Living Waters ran, and I did debt counselling for CAP. So that's a few things.
What was your teaching speciality?
Maths and geology I qualified in.
Okay.
So
and
maths,
there is another geologist in the family.
There is a proper geologist.
A proper
in
one.
The, yeah. I just played at it, but that is where Andrew and I met, is when we were doing our degrees in Leeds.
In geology.
Well, technically earth sciences. The souped up, pimped geology, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Extra geophysics and geochemistry.
By putting science on the end of it, it
sounds
made it sound
better.
More proper.
Sounds better.
I know, watching the television programme, The Big Bang Theory, I think geologists get quite a hard time from the rest of the science community. But I love it. Yeah, I used to do a bit of going around hitting things with a hammer. Any excuse to hit things with a hammer,
yeah.
It seems good.
It's got to be good.
A minibus full of kids with hammers.
Yeah.
And send them out to bang things. I think it was geology. I don't know. It might have been some other sort of prison
some
reform.
Some sort of destruction, yeah.
Excellent. So you have provided us with a couple of photos, which I thought were pretty...
Did you like
pretty
them?
Impressive,
yeah good.
Actually. So let's see. Now, this is... I will admit, I spent more time looking at the bicycle than I did the...
they don't make them like that anymore. No.
So which one are you and who are the others?
I am the smallest one. And I'm being held by my older sister. And my brother is looking on. My brother sadly died 2 years ago, so he's not with us anymore. They were quite a bit older than me. My sister's 11 years older than me. My brother was 7 years older. And this is what I blame my dislike of cycling on. You can see why, can't you?
I don't know. They were trying to get you into the sort of early Superman position
really?
Before you could fully reach the pedals. But, excellent. And your sister is still with us?
Yeah, she is. She lives near Wigan, okay. Still up north. Yeah, she didn't move away. Right.
And the other photograph we've got now, look at that.
Look at that.
That's quite impressive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Tell us, explain, what is this?
Okay, so I would have been about 23, going on 24. I must have just started teaching. And I can tell that because you can just see the watch sticking out on my wrist. And that's that watch, and Andrew bought it for me when I started teaching, so I had a clear watch face to tell the time in school.
Excellent. Where is that taken?
It's on a beach north of Aberdeen. Oh, okay. Hence, I'm wearing a fur coat and a woolly hat in September because it's pretty cold up there. Although this looks surprisingly blue, the sea.
Yeah. There is a look in your eye that says you're not sure whether you should be taking a photograph of you, or is that it's
don't particularly like having my photograph taken. No,
it's good. I love it. It's a really great photo. Yeah.
But you can see I'm doing the geologist thing. I've picked up a pebble and I'm looking at it.
Ah, definitely.
Yeah.
Excellent. We had a rock tumbling, polishing thing, which ground away in the garage for... just tumbled and tumbled and tumbled, and I don't know what but I think we had one time when it came out with something good, but it seemed a lot of effort. Go to the gift shop, I think, is my recommendation. So it's good. So you after all of those things, you what is it you enjoy doing at the moment in life?
What do I enjoy doing, or what do I do? Now, I had a break from tutoring, and then I was doing another job because I forgot to tell you I did caring as well. That was more recent. And then when I was ill, I had to stop doing the caring, and I thought, oh, maybe it's time to do tutoring again. So I've been tutoring youngsters in maths, and I have really enjoyed that the last few years. It's been good to be back involved with teenagers. Surprisingly, I quite like them. And, it's been really good. So I do that. I've also done more creative stuff. I used to say when I was young, I'm not artistic, and I'm not. I can't draw. But gradually, I realised that everybody's got creativity within them. And so it's been quite nice to get older and take more time and discover your creative bits. So I do different bits of needlework and crafting and stuff, and I write. And besides that, I, this time of year, go out wombling apples where I find them and... pick brambles and
excellent
domestic stuff.
It's good. Anyone who can remember one of the last 24/7 prayer rooms that Zina was in charge of will attest to her creativity, because you were making furniture, you were making clothes, you were doing everything.
Andrew did the
Andrew did a bit of stuff. Well, it was impressive. And you'll be pleased to know that the curtains that you made for the hub are now up. That was the summer project. I couldn't let you come back in and still find that they weren't there.
Yeah, okay.
So we've got you on this desert island. And you can bring with you a record. Mm-hmm. So tell us about your choice of record.
Okay, well, obviously everybody says it's hard to choose one, but when I sort of narrow it down... a lot of songs have, meant something to me, or I've enjoyed them. But actually, there are three pieces of music that really stick out, and they've not really got words. One of them's got a few words, but actually the ones that, if I thought, what if I only could take one, two, or three, they're all instrumental pieces. And I realised when I thought about it that I think a lot. That's not a surprise to people who know me. And actually, the piece of music... is one that it is just music, and when I listen to it, I stop thinking because I just go into the music. And this particular one that I've picked for today is actually the first single, the first record I bought with my pocket money at 11 years old.
Excellent.
And when I hear it now, it does exactly the same thing to me as at 11. It just stops whatever I've been thinking about or feeling. It resets me to happy.
Okay, let's play the track. I'm always
always nervous that we've got the right track, you know. When I listened to it, I thought, we've got to let it run at least as far as the drum solo.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's good. I was a little bit worried when I Googled it and put it and got YouTube. The front cover of the record had a naked lady on it. And I thought, I don't know what we're going on for here.
I think man just came in a paper sleeve, actually.
They'd obviously taken that out for parental, yours. Yeah, it's good. So you've got your record. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to bring a luxury with you on this island. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to use it to communicate with the outside world or to escape. Mm-hmm. So what is your luxury?
This was the tricky one for me to think about. And as soon as I thought about it, I thought about one thing. And then I thought, oh, no, that's really practical. You can't have that. That's not a luxury. And I thought about all sorts of stuff. And I thought, no. And I came back to what I first thought of, because I realised it is practical, but it's also a treat for me. And that would be a large box full of remnants of all different kinds of fabric and a load of haberdashery bits. So I could make myself things I need, but I could actually entertain myself by just playing with the fabric and thinking, maybe. And it would fill in time as well, wouldn't it? So when you say
Tanya, who's not here, would love a room full of all the fabric she's bought that she was going to make into things but never quite got round to. But just likes... She actually admitted to me the other day that she was never really going to do that anyway. She just liked the fabric. And I just thought, well, fine,
absolutely.
Okay. So, we need somewhere where it can just...
Don't take me to a nightclub. Take me to a fabric shop.
And the people at those places where you buy them, they know what you're going to do with them. One person was saying to these people who are buying this, this is expensive loft insulation, but, we know where it's going to go. And people still bought it. That's interesting. So you've got the complete works of Shakespeare. You've got the Bible. Mm-hmm. And you can take with you a book of your choice.
Okay, that's an easy one for me. Lord of the Rings by Tolkien. It's quite a long book, so it would fill time. But also, I've already read it at least a dozen times. And it doesn't spoil for having... read it beforehand, so I know I could read it again and enjoy it every so often.
You need the one with the appendix, which kind of gives you enough
of the
languages and the maps to sort of start learning whatever.
Elvish. Probably.
We'll find you singing Elvish along to. Excellent. So you've talked about your creativity a little bit. I mean, would the desert island be somewhere which you find enjoyable or complete torture or a bit of both?
Bit of both. I'm sure for a little while, providing there were plenty of coconuts there to eat, I'd be fine. I think catching food would be difficult. I'd have to crochet a fishing net or something because chasing after something or making a bow and arrow would be pretty hopeless. I'd like my own company for a while, and then I'm sure it would all go a bit horribly wrong.
I think that's probably true of quite a few of us. Well, I do hope that you're going to enjoy your December visit to Holland and the real desert island. But in the meantime, thank you for being on our imaginary ones.
Very welcome. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, my second guest is often found behind the media control panels back there, or collecting the offering, as he actually was today, and sometimes on a bicycle. So please welcome Dave Ackrell.
Morning.
Welcome, Dave.
Thank you, Daniel.
This is not just an excuse. For the next 35 minutes, we can talk about bicycles. But if you'd like to, we could. We could do that.
It's going to come down to that.
We've already had one bicycle, so it's good. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Dave. Where do you live? Who do you live with? What do you do?
Okay. Well, I live in Clevedon. I think for the first 10 years of the church, everyone thought we lived in Nailsea. But I live in Clevedon with my wife, Claire, and two children, Rebecca and Ellie. But I have to get this in. I was born in Birmingham.
We've got a sign.
So we have our Brummy corner. So, yeah, so that had to be said. So I was only two, though, when we left, but it's my roots. It says it on my passport, so you can't escape. Then lived in the northeast, Newcastle upon Tyne, for 7 years, and then my dad's job moved us down here, and I lived in Backwell until really we got married, and then I've lived in Clevedon ever since.
So, I mean, you've obviously got a great loyalty to Birmingham, but you know, where's the accent, you know, and the Newcastle accent as well? You're all posh now, you've turned up now, yeah.
Living in middle-class Backwell.
drove it out of you.
At two, you kind of don't really pick up much of an accent.
True. I must admit, I was born in Cornwall, so I lost that Cornish accent pretty quick because, when you go to school, it tends to even it out. Yeah, it's good. And what do you do when you're not here at church with us?
So my job, I'm rubbish at describing it. I run a company with my brother-in-law, who Claire's brother, obviously, and we supply ear tags, identification ear tags for sheep and cattle. Beat that one.
See, you don't normally get that reaction, do you?
No. So normally people walk away. So
glaze. Look, so if you find one of those numbered tags that has maybe fallen off a sheep or a cattle and you bring it to Dave, he will be able to tell you
whether it's ours.
It's your where almost everything about it.
How exciting is
so
that?
So yeah, you know, I mean, don't chase sheep and worry them to get a tag off them. But if you do find one,
No, but I did a business degree, so I always thought at one point I probably would like to run a business, but I'm not entrepreneurial, so to set up a business and go through that stress was horrendous, so it was quite convenient to kind of join Claire's family, and her dad had already gone through all that bit and come along kind of like during the expanding years, so little did I know down the line how stressful it would become, but at the time it seemed like a good idea.
It seemed like the easy option, a good option. Excellent. And you have obviously quite a bit of interaction with the local farming community. You know, Somerset farmers, they're a good bunch.
Who's going to listen to this?
They
are my customers. So, it's an interesting industry. I mean, it's going through a bit of a tough time. Although farmers, it's never quite right. It's all to do with the weather, and it is never perfect. So, I enjoy meeting people. So we get a lot of customers come in and collect tags from us who farm locally. So we have all sorts of walks of life. My dad always jokes, because I go to work in the summer dressed like this, and my dad was a shirt and tie man for all his working life. And whenever he sees me, he's like, "Can't believe you go to work like that." And I'm like, "I always dress and smell slightly better than my customers." So as long as I keep that level...
We'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. I've cycled with you, so.
Excellent. So you too have supplied us with a photograph of, you know, which is quite interesting. So let's see.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So.
How old were you in the top?
Oh, I don't know. I could never remember things like that. My mum was going to come today, so I was hoping that she was going to help me out with that one. But yeah, that's taken, both pictures are taken outside my mum and dad's house in Backwell. So yeah, and one obviously, what, 9, 10, something like that. So I've always been into cycling. That was the proof of that. It's not just Daniel's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the bottom picture is a few years ago now when the bike was new, shiny. Hey, we're just having a moment here.
Yeah.
So, but no, I thought that was quite nice. It's quite nice to kind of mum and dad still being in the same house and the kind of past
cute.
And current. So,
I got given a bike similar to that at the top. And my brother who was here, I knew uh-oh. I was getting a bike, but I didn't know what it was going to be like. And he spent the days leading up to my birthday telling me how thick, I wanted a racing bike, you know, how thick the tyres were, and basically completely put me off the scent and traumatised me. I thought, I was gearing myself up to that kind of face when you know you're going to get something you don't want, but you know people have made a real effort and you have to smile. And when it actually came, it was a great relief that it was exactly what was required and wanted. So thanks, Craig. Yeah, built up thing. It's good. So you've provided, we're on this desert island, you've provided us with a song, a track, a disc. How was that?
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about your piece of music.
I don't know if I can. Has anyone cried yet since they've been up here during the night?
Oh, loads of them. Every week.
I haven't seen it.
Every week, virtually.
Phew. I'll try not to. So, well, there was two that I thought of. One was just going to be my fun Peter Kember, he'd have enjoyed Brian Adams' Summer of 69. Bit of guitar. That was kind of going to be my fun choice. Exactly. So we were listening to it in the kitchen in preparation to this, dancing around, kind of enjoying a bit of air guitar moments. So and that was very, very tempting because I saw Brian Adams in concert when I was younger at Wembley and with some friends. So some great memories, and I was a big fan. But the song I chose is a song that... Well, probably last time I was up here was when I was kind of sharing my testimony of kind of going through a bit of a crazy moment of new revelation. And leading up to that, I'd had quite a few barren years of just distancing myself from God and no connection at all. But this particular song, whenever it came on the radio, which was just kind of a reminder of what I knew was probably true about me, that... Yeah, and it would come on, and even though I was distant from God, it was just kind of, it helped me kind of come back. Basically sort of one part of the lyrics, without kind of giving away too much, is it's my heartbeat song, but it's been so long, I forgot how to turn it up. So it's kind of like, yeah, and it was such a long time since I kind of experienced God, I'd forgotten how to kind of turn it up. So those are the words within it that kind of mean the most. So should we play it before I blub?
It's good. I've read the lyrics. I was surprised when I heard the choice.
This is my heartbeat song and I'm gonna play it. Been so long I forgot how to turn it up, 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 up all night long. Oh, up, up all night long. You, where the hell did you come from? You're a different, different kind of fun. And I'm so used to feeling numb. Pins and needles on my tongue, anticipating what's to come, like a finger on a loaded gun. I can't feel
good. I go around these. I got it on YouTube and I saw the lyrics and I thought, oh yeah, I get that. Yeah, it's good.
It's good. It's
a good choice.
I like it.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, it's one of the common things throughout this series is how often God has used songs with words to keep connecting with people, and that's because the words kind of hit our intellectual side, but also the music hits our emotional side. It catches us. It has the ability to do more than just the knowledge, and that's why it's so powerful. And God will use anything He can to communicate with us and keep reminding us that He's there and He hasn't forgotten and He hasn't left us. And I love it. I love the fact that He does that and that the music has that that ability. So great track. Your luxury on this desert island.
Well, it's got to be Cadbury's Dairy Milk.
Yeah, the Germans know that.
Made in Birmingham.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of. The Americans are trying to steal it a bit.
Kirsten is going to. has arrived from Germany, and before they go back across the channel, the back of the Volvo is going to be sagging with Cadbury's chocolate.
Brilliant.
So yeah,
it's the only. And you
put all varieties.
No, it was specific. Cadbury's Dairy Milk.
Just plain.
Yeah, that's good enough. Others are okay, but that keeps me going nicely.
Right, excellent. Yeah. And wonderful, that's good. Now, I know that you were practically challenged.
Oh, what's that meant to mean?
That means I'm not sure how long you're going to survive on
Will
this.
Will you come with me?
On this island, no.
I need my dad then.
Yeah.
Is he allowed to be my luxury as well?
No, you can't bring your dad as your luxury, or even communication with him of what to do.
That's
so
harsh.
You think you'd be okay on this island?
No.
I
did think, so I'm useless at DIY because I have very little patience, so I have a great plan and think I'd like to do that, and then partway through, it normally doesn't quite work, and then it entails a phone call to my dad who comes over and finishes it. So I'll probably have lots of half-done projects. But then I did think, actually, if I'm there a long time, I may learn patience through it, and I may actually finally... No, stop shaking your head, wife.
Fantasy desert island. Kind of use your imagination.
Exactly.
Come on.
Exactly. Yeah, so... I'll survive on chocolate.
It's fine. It's not... Yeah, exactly. Just sit down
and
eat more chocolate. Very good. You've got books, you've got, William, you've got Shakespeare, you've got the Bible. Any other book that you would take with you?
Yeah, this was tough. I'm not really a great reader at all, so I'm going to hopefully cheat a little bit and hopefully have a magazine subscription to Top Gear car magazine. That will keep me going. So it's kind of a book. You read it.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's reading material.
Exactly. I'm not going to use it for, anything else. So.
Yeah. So along the beach are going to be all the different shapes of all the supercars you'd like.
Absolutely.
Made out in
sandcastles. Yeah, I might be able to manage that.
Which you can sit in each one.
Exactly. Today I have a Ferrari.
Reading your mate. Perfectly detailed.
Yeah.
Dave,
this is sounding good.
Dave is quite a keen car enthusiast, so much so that he... can be found up in London on occasions, ticking. What do you do? What there are people.
Yeah, it's
who
like
do
train spotting, isn't it? I suppose when you start to talk about it, but it's car spotting.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's very sad.
Don't laugh, Denise.
Yes. No, please do, Denise. It's fine. I understand. I even kind of drag my family along with me as well. So, but my mum, she quite likes it as well. So it's kind of There's a thing in London now that a lot of the Arabs bring their supercars over in August. So, and they hang around Harrods, and to see, Lamborghinis, Bugattis, Ferraris on the street is quite a rare thing, but around London, this weekend, it would be good. Dorchester Hotel is another top tip, if you're on the way.
So if you're interested in stealing a supercar, Dave's your man, okay? He knows where
this
they are.
This is being recorded.
I think that's a good... those are good options. Those are good things. So just before I let you go, you know, we have to at least talk bicycles for a little bit. You know, have you? I saw a great thing. Well, you sent it through to me, which was a great thing, which was a bicycle shop that says, if you pay us another £5, we'll give you a receipt that says that matches the amount you told your wife that this bicycle was going to cost. Which I thought was genius. It was a genius idea.
It's fantastic.
But we're getting closer and closer to you've... The amount of bikes that you should have is the amount of bikes you have got plus one. There's always another bike on the horizon.
Always.
And Dave, although I don't need one, but Dave is very getting closer and closer and closer to confessing to Claire that
keep looking.
I haven't got it stored at my house. This isn't going to be the grand reveal.
Surprise!
But it is close. Have you narrowed it down? Have you narrowed it down to what you want?
I like a bargain. I'm a Brummy, so
a bargain.
So you know, I have a specification in mind, but haven't seen the actual bike.
The perfect bike.
But I don't know. I've been looking. There's a lot of sales on at the moment, end of season, so you know that 20% off is a big draw on that amount of money. So
it's amazing how you can sort of twist it around until it becomes just a must buy.
Just something that needs to be done. Yeah, well, exactly. You know, yeah. Hopefully at some point.
We will let you know when a new picture
can appear. Yeah. Third line of
exactly. Well, thank you again for being on our desert island and for finding out a little bit about you. So please thank Dave